Today we begin the Esima season, these kind of a preparation time, these 3 weeks in preparation for the Great Lent. And so the church, like a good mother, has us start our ascetical, penitential path towards Lent so that we don't have a hard stop and a sudden beginning of a penitential period, but rather we're easing into it, and so we have no Gloria today. And we're also invited to make of this a penitential 3 weeks in preparation for Lent, so that when Ash Wednesday comes, we're not trying to figure it out. We hit the ground running. And so that's what the church is inviting us to today. And Paul speaks about this importance of the ordering the passions. The passions are disordered thanks to original sin, but they're not utterly or essentially corrupt. So we don't have a Calvinist view of the human person. We recognize that our passions are disordered, but not hopeless. And so Paul speaks to us about how to go about that. In the gospel, a couple of interesting terms here. Oikodespotos is the word for landowner. It means the master of the house. From that we get despot, right? The word despot, which in English has something of a pejorative term. But here it simply means master of the house, oikodespotos. And then our Lord uses this word to describe the oikodespotos who goes out or comes forth. And this is an interesting word, exelthein, because it has a solemn usage. Our Lord uses this to describe his own coming from the Father. He says, I go forth, exelthein, from the Father. And we see that also on Holy Thursday night. He went out, and exelthein. So it's a verb that has a certain solemnity to it, a going forth. It's not a banal term. And so when it's used here four times clearly and one time it's intuited through ellipsis, well, there's a sacred, a solemn moment in the call of the workers. There's something holy about the invitation. It's not a casual thing to be invited by God to join him in his enterprise. This happens in our baptism. It happens in a vocational call. It also happens in the moment when he appeals to our conscience. There's something holy about that. There's something solemn. And it merits a response. Also, when we look at the different times that people start working in his vineyard, we can't deny the fact that he was working from before the first shift started. He's the one, even though it says that he has a foreman who helps him, he's the one who's out under the same heat chasing after workers. And he's under the same sun as everyone else, searching for souls, calling them, inviting them. Will you participate in this labor of mine? And as the parable continues, we better understand how unmoored, purposeless, and unoriented is the life of the idle man who is not about the things of God. In his mercy, he invites them nonetheless to leave that existence and join in his enterprise. Notice too that even though he has a foreman, he does this invitation himself. It's a personal relationship that he wants, a personal relationship. Even though he has agents, his call is his. And notice too that in the first shift they're told what their wages will be. After that, he says, I will give you what is just. And the word just not only means justice in terms of giving each his due, but just as also being made just, being made righteous. And then this is going to be a key to understand the relationship between those laborers that are in good standing with him. And we see in his coming and going, his exile thing, his going forth, this internal dynamism. He doesn't stop moving. He's active the entire day, tirelessly seeking souls. And that's also a sign of life, right? If there isn't interior growth, if there isn't expansion, if there isn't this self-communication of one's presence, there isn't life, and that's something that withers away. So our Lord has this interior dynamism that he shares with others. And this is what Thomas Aquinas calls bonum divusivum sui, that goodness communicates itself. Goodness gives of itself. And so when our Lord invites us to be cooperators in his vineyard, it's not to be consumerists of grace, mere recipients of his gifts, but to be active cooperators. Active cooperators. And with that gift comes a great responsibility. And so this active cooperation then implies identification, it implies configuration. If our idea of being a good Catholic is to frequent the sacraments, pray, and avoid sin, that's a very low bar. That's just the start. If our spiritual program consists of avoiding sin, that doesn't really end well. Our Lord doesn't invite us to not crucify him again, okay? He invites us in the Sermon on the Mount to perfection. Be ye perfect as my Heavenly Father is perfect. And so that is what he's inviting us to. And this perfection, then, is not in the order of physical strength or intellect. It's in the order of virtue. So that the theological virtues are active, they're thriving, and the other infused virtues through the presence of grace in the soul is transforming us. And then this is the role of the passions, because our passions, not our enemies. If we give them free rein, then they do become the enemies, and they become a true despot, a tyrant, and they demand totality. But the oikodespotes, the master of the vineyard, invites us to channel our passions towards him. And this is done in the first moment of temptation. When we turn towards him in the first moment of temptation, we've already won. Because we've made our choice. And when we follow through with that, it gives him great glory. And so our passions then serve his purposes. And how does this work? Infused virtue reaches down to those most base passions. And when we make that choice in the first moment of temptation, it's an offering of the passions to him. And so the passions, rather than being squelched, are channeled. They're ordered, reordered. And what ensues is holiness. So we're not set up for failure. Our Lord gives us all the means that we need. And what is the means in particular? It's himself. Not the penny, not the denarius, not the day's wage, but as James says in his letter, Jesus Christ is the gift of the Father. He is the true payment then. And so that then explains to us what this agreement is. Have we not agreed That's a real fascinating word. Symphophoneias, right? That's where we get the word symphony from. It means a harmonizing of different voices. That's what Matthew uses. And so this harmonizing of different voices means that our human voice, our human will joins the divine, and it's elevated, it's transformed, configured with His. We don't lose our will. It's purified. It's elevated. And so Christ then becomes the real recompense. We receive Him. We're identified with Him. We work for Him. We imitate His interior dynamism, this activity which is not frenetic, it's ordered, but it's ceaseless. And so when goodness shares of itself, we don't receive gifts, we receive Him who is the gift. And that makes all the difference. And may this then be our life as well. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.